We've got in the studio, we've got our librarian stroke zookeeper. Charlie's in the building, and Dusky's in the building as well. And just tell us a bit about Dusky, because how long have you had the dog? About a year. And they're highly trained.
Yeah.
What are they highly trained to do? They got to pick up on how you're feeling, how you are.
Yeah. I think animals are brilliant at, because it's that whole, in my opinion, there's like that sixth sense that I don't think humans can pick up anymore. But animal, I mean, you can. I think you can go into a room and just feel like, oh, something bad's happened here without knowing it.
Yeah.
But animals, because they obviously don't communicate with voices most of the time, I think they're a lot more based on smells and movements. So if I'm getting stressed out or something, then Dusky will... Dusky, come on. Dusky will pick that up. She's...
I don't know. She's supposed to be de-stressing you, but she's got a whiff of what's in that tin there.
I think it's ground up meat dog treats.
Oh, right, so that's what Dusky wants.
Yeah, she's a big fan of it.
So she will help you.
Yeah, I don't think I would have been able to come in today without her. She has her flaws. A lot of flaws.
Right.
She's a fantastic dog. She's friendly with everyone, and she literally melts in your arms. If you sit down, she'll come and she'll lie on her back and melt into you. But she's the most stress-filled dog in the world. I think she very much likes to show off her emotions as well.
Okay. So how? Give us an example of how she helps you. When was the last time she helped you? She must have sent something and did something. So what does she sense? What does she do?
It's hard to explain, because some dogs will have like this. You know, they'll come over and they'll push their owner. You know, they'll push them with their nose.
Yeah.
As a way of like comforting, but I think Dusky just being there, she just looks at me. And I guess it's comforting having somebody always following you around. I mean, she glues herself to my side most of the time.
And you feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Did you, I mean, just say for instance, you mentioned that if she wasn't with you today, you don't think you'd be able to come in. Mm. Are you stressed, tense now? Is she sensing that you are and doing what she's supposed to do?
Yeah, I think so. She's staring at me an awful lot, which can be a bit unnerving sometimes. she is fantastic at staring. But she's just laid down as well.
Chilled. So she's chilled now. Are you chilled?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. I'm glad.
It's good having like an anchor to just calm you down.
Okay. Should we talk about gaming?
Okay.
What was the last game you played?
Be the latest Pokemon game, Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Okay, is that? Do you ever have to go out and, you know, because when they say Pokemon, I've seen people go out and have to go to certain areas to play some game. Is that the same thing, or is that something completely different?
That is Pokemon. That's Pokemon Go, but that's more of the AR thing, which stands for, I think, augmented reality.
Right.
And so that like takes control of your, or that picks up on your GPS, and you can walk around with that. But that's not exactly for me, because I have a hard enough time getting out of the house, let alone walking around.
Right.
Walking around a town, and I think it's also the whole thing of just standing there and on your phone, and you're standing there going like, oh, everyone's staring at me, but I have to catch this Pikachu.
So the game you play is totally different then.
It's still Pokemon, but it's not. It's a lot less. It's a lot more private. Well, it's not as outdoorsy.
And how do you play? Is it on a computer? Is it a specific game machine?
It's on the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, so you've got a Nintendo Switch, you play that on. And how many times, how many hours a day do you play on that?
Oh, I think enough for a therapist or a psychiatrist to be deeply concerned.
So more than one then?
Yeah, a lot more than one.
I mean, it's good that you're aware of it. So can you, you know, will you at some point address it and say, maybe this is too much and I'll do something else? Or do you just play another game?
I think I'll just play another game, but admitting is the first step to recovery, so...
Yeah. And how do you find going out, then? Going out is a struggle?
I think it's... Everything just feels alien. It changes too much. I think there's always... random people. It's not a good way of living, but... It's the unknown.
Okay.
I could go outside and there could be somebody I know, and I think that's when the anxiety kicks in. I think when I meet somebody who I do know in public, I think that's more stressful to me than meeting somebody I don't know.
Okay, that's interesting. But when was the last time you actually went out freely? I mean, was it some time ago? Just sort of, right, I'm going out down the park, doing, you know, going to the town?
I think the last time that I decided, okay, I'm going to go out now, was after I watched a clip from, I think it's with Owen Wilson, I think it's Marley and Me.
Oh, right, yeah.
And his speech about dogs at the end, and I don't remember it entirely, but how special and important they are. And I decided, okay, you know what, and I took Dusky's collar and I went to the... I can't say it out loud, but I went to the BEACH. I can't say that because that's her favourite place in the world. And
she knows that word.
Yeah, and she starts to sing once she hears it. But that was quite late at night, I think about 7 or 8.
Wow.
So there weren't many people there, but that was nice.
And, I mean, at the moment, you're not actually in school?
No.
No? And when was the last time you went to school?
I went to the college... few months ago.
Okay.
But I think that I think everyone has a different way of learning, and mine definitely isn't in a public environment. I was going quite a lot. I think the first day I bit off more than I could chew, and I went for every single lesson there, and then I came back and felt sick in the car, and then fell asleep for 5 hours from exhaustion and stress. But eventually it just sort of fizzled out and it got too much.
It's interesting because I have this thought process at the moment. We live in a different world than we did, you know, even 5 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago. I mean, I would have gone to school and there would have been about, I don't know, 300 people in a year. So if you've got 3 years, you've got 900 people. If you've got a sixth form, you probably got 1,200. That's a lot of people to be around. And, you know, you won't remember this because you're much younger, much, much younger than I am. And there used to be factories with 1,500 people in. So, you know, to go to school with 1,200 people would have gotten you used to being in a factory working with all of those people. But now we haven't got factories of that size. So I'm sort of baffled why we keep sending young people into an area where there are 1,000 plus people. When they're never likely to be in that amount of people again in a working environment. And I just think that it's probably wrong and we need to address it and maybe change things a little, because there are people like yourself that struggle in and around lots of people, and you're not the only one. There's lots of people. I've got to be honest, I go back about a year when we were all in lockdown and you don't see many people. And then we came out of the first lockdown period and people were allowed to walk through the town and so on. And I remember walking home through the town for the first time in something like 6 months. And I was freaked out by the amount of people. And it's almost like when I used to come to work, I used to walk down the back streets and see hardly anybody. And then walking up through the high street, just to be nosy, just to see what's going on, I thought, well, I ain't doing this again because there's just too many people. And in reality, there probably wasn't that many people, but it did bother me and it did freak me out. So I kind of understand where you're coming from. Do you find yourself wanting to, I don't know, go out and try and face your fears?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to overcome it, because at the end of the day, all you're doing is what we're doing right now. It's just going to somebody and talking to them.
Mm.
But I think then you have... It's the same thing as stepping into a pond or stepping into the ocean, and it's, you know, you put your toe in, it's like, okay, it's not that bad. And then a tidal wave comes and knocks you over. And I think it's always easier to say in hindsight, but in the moment, it's a lot more difficult. If I can compare it to something like skydiving, before you actually get into the plane, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. This is going to be great. But then once you're in the plane and you're looking down, you're like, oh, this is a mistake. This was not very smart. And you want to give up. And I'd say it's a similar thing.
I could not skydive. No, I would not skydive. I'm surprised that you've used that as an analogy. Have you skydived? Have you been in that position as well? Because when you spoke about it, it sounded like you've done that. It's because you know what the feeling's like. But I'm guessing it's, you know, like a lot of people, I just could not do it. If I've seen people stood in a plane and you think, nah, no thanks. But that's why we bought a bungalow recently. I don't like heights. Hey, look, it's fascinating talking to you. Are you okay with talking about this?
Yeah.
No problems at all?
No.
Excellent. Okay, look, we're gonna play another